أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We turn humbly to God and ask for His special grace and guidance, because He is the All-Perfect One, He is the All-Merciful One, and One whose extra grace and mercy is available to the good doers and the believers. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing a commentary on Dua Kumail, and as a reminder before we begin, it's important to remember that this dua is not an ordinary dua for several reasons. Number one, the person who requested to be taught this dua was an extraordinary companion, Kumail bin Ziyad Nakhai. He was one of the members of the elite group of companions of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And secondly, the person in whose name the dua has been referenced is Khidr alayhi salam. Khidr is a personality who definitely is in some aspects higher and greater than Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa had been instructed that in order for him to learn extra knowledge, he should go and seek it from this instructor. And number three, the fact that Imam alayhi salam promises that whosoever recites this dua even once in a lifetime, the potential is there for his whole life to change and his sins to be forgiven and his provisions to be increased. So the dua is extraordinary. In order to derive the benefit from the dua, therefore we need to carefully read the and recite the dua with attention to its meaning. Next slide, please. We can divide it into several sections. We were discussing section 1, and we have come almost towards the end of that section. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kull shay. Next slide, please. Briefly, this section says that, O Lord, I invoke you by those names whereby I know that when I present myself before you, you have knowledge of everything and therefore you know my problems. Number two, I also know that you are all powerful. وَبِقُوَّتِكَ جَبَرُوتِكَ أَنْ عِزَّتِكَ أَنْ عَظَمَتِكَ أَنْ سُلْطَانِكَ. I know you have the power to accomplish anything. And number three, and your mercy and compassion and love spreads out to each and everything, and therefore definitely you are more than willing to help. So then I want to present my needs to you. But then before I can do that, I recognize that though you are near everything, وَبِأَسْمَائِكَ الَّتِي مَلَأَتْ أَرْكَانَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and your names and attributes and your manifestations have filled everything. There is not a thing that can be called a thing but that it's created. And therefore it's a manifestation of your power and your knowledge and your wisdom and your mercy. Though you are near everything, but we by our wrong choice are distant from you. And it is mainly our sinfulness. And therefore I wish to ask for forgiveness. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahtiku al-'isam, tughayyiru an-ni'am, tunzilu an-niqam, tahbisu ad-du'a, tunzilu al-bala. Five groups. And then Imam alayhi salam says, no, not only these five groups of sins, but all sins. Kullu dhanbin adhnabtu. After having sought forgiveness, then Imam says, these are my needs. That Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bi dhikrik wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsik wa as'aluka bi judika an tudniyani min qurbik wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak. I want three things. I want proximity to you. I want to be able to thank you for all the ni'mah that you have given me, and I want to be in the constant remembrance of you, your actions, your qualities, and your gifts all the time. Finally, Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in, mutazallilin, khashi'in, I seek humbly, lowly, fearfully from you, and to samihani wa tarhamani, I want your special mercy, wa taj'alani bi qismika radiyan qani'a wa fi jami'il ahwali mutawadi'a. I want these three qualities. Furthermore, before I ask for anything of the material gifts, these are the spiritual gifts I'm asking for, I want satisfaction and contentment with whatever you have decreed for me, and I want humility in all dimensions and aspects of my life. We were discussing about rida and to be pleased with what Allah has decreed. Qana'a is almost similar to rida. Qana'a meaning contentment. Contentment meaning that you have made your struggle, you have recognized Allah is the provider. But when Allah ensures that He will give the minimum provision necessary for everyone's survival to everyone, nobody will be denied that much. If at all there is denial and deprivation, it's because some other agents in between have come and blocked the delivery of whatever Allah has promised. But beyond that basic minimum necessity, whatever Allah gives is min fadlillah. That is extra. If I recognize this, then... and if I recognize God is all just, and God is all wise, and God is all merciful, definitely, after all my struggle, whatever I get, I'm happy, I'm pleased. Discontentment begins at a point where we are not somehow convinced that what I have gotten is what I'm entitled to. And Allah challenges that, this false sense of entitlement. And I've worked so much, and I've got so much intelligence, and I've got so much planning, and I've got so much market survey, and I've got so many workers, and therefore I should get all this. Allah says, beyond the basic, He will give to whosoever He wills, how much He wants, but not everything to everyone. An appreciation of this fundamental reality will result in contentment. And the Quran says, it is contentment which will make your life worthy of living and happy. Otherwise, you will be in a sense of frustration. Look at this ayah. The next slide, please. Next. Surah Nahl, chapter 16, ayah number 97. Man amila salihan. Whosoever does any act of goodness, even one act of goodness. Min zakarin aw untha, whoever this person may be it a male or a female. It seems the Quran wants to emphasize that as far as doing good and having faith and therefore being rewarded by Allah, there is no superiority of masculine over feminine. Females can achieve equal, if not more, than males. It all depends on what amal salih they do and what degree of iman they have. Man amila salihan, any act of goodness. Min zakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min. And definitely it's not enough to do good. It's more important to be good. Wa huwa mu'min. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We shall definitely reward this individual with a good life, a pleasant life, comfortable life, with satisfaction and without discontentment. In the riwayah, in the tafsir, some of us have said this حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبًا means Allah will provide you with the daily bread. Others say, no, Allah will give you the halal rizq. You struggle for it. Whatever you achieve, that's a halal rizq. That's the hayat tayyibah. A third group says, no, it refers to a life based on worship and a life where you are struggling and working and you're earning. A fourth interpretation is, no, hayat tayyibah is the tawfiq and the strength and the inspiration to do whatever is necessary which is good. One of the tafsir which is mentioned in the riwayah is that when the Imam Ma'asum alayhi salam is asked, what is this hayat tayyibah, this pleasant life, this good life where there is general degree of happiness. Imam says, Al-Qana'a, satisfaction, contentment. You notice we are asking Imam is teaching us to ask God that I want to become biqismika waj'alni biqismika radiyan qani'a. What is this qana'a? This is the one being referred to in this ayah. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And of course we shall reward them according to وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, according to the best of their deeds. That means if the individual has different levels of good deeds, low level, medium level, high level, and when they present this to God, God will not reward the low deeds with low reward, medium deeds with medium reward, and high deeds with high reward. God will reward all the deeds with high reward. When you go and buy, the example, when you go and buy from the fruit seller fruits of different qualities, he may have high quality, medium quality, low quality, and then you ask him the price, and he says these three are of different prices. If you pay the price of the highest for all the three, that is your generosity. This is what is being referred to here. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. قَنَاعَ is a big spiritual prize everyone should aim for. The scourge of modern times is the deficit in qana'ah. Observe, next slide. There was a survey conducted by the Roper group to find out, Americans were asked, what is their degree of satisfaction with their life? Different aspects of their life they were asked. How satisfied are you with your life? With your the type of house that you have? Do you want a better house? The schooling that you had? The type of friends you have? The work? And interestingly enough, the majority reported the least satisfaction with one particular aspect, and that is the amount of money they had. Another survey, University of Michigan. Incidentally, I'm reporting from these statistics because sababu these surveys have been conducted. But I'm sure we can identify and relate to them because we ourselves may be swimming in the same boat. University of Michigan, the Institute of Social Research, they report that when they conducted a survey and they asked these two big questions. What is it you think that blocks you and hampers you from the search for a good life? Hayatun tayyibah. Majority of them said, we don't have enough money. Next question. What is the most important thing that you need to improve the quality of your life? Majority said, we want more money. Lack of satisfaction with the amount of money that they already had. You would think they're talking about $1,000 a month. Wait till I tell you the figures. Next slide, please. A Gallup survey. One out of every two women, 50%. Two out of three men, 66.6%. Four out of every five people generally, who are already earning $75,000 per annum, they said, no, we're not satisfied, we want to earn more. They said, we want to be rich. $75,000 is not rich. When the majority of the people in the world don't earn that much. Dubai, the policy of the government is to be able to bring it to a level where the GDP is going to be $40,000. The average person should be able to earn that. Below that, Dubai is not going to have a place for you. $40,000 is rich there. These guys are saying $75,000, no, I'm not rich. I still want to be rich. Take a fourth survey, Roper. Tell a just the income, which is your American dream, that would fulfill all your desires and get you to achieve your dreams. In the late 80s, they said if we had $50,000, that would help us achieve our dreams. Come the late 90s, that shot up to 90,000. I don't know the most recent survey, but you can extrapolate. The more you have, it's not enough. Lack of contentment. Next slide, please. In the universities, where they offer courses in economics, Thomas Naylor is an economist who is teaching corporate strategy in the University of Duke. He reports that when the students, college students, come, I give them a survey. What is your strategic, forget about corporate strategy, I want your personal life strategy. What is your strategic plan for your own life? What do you want to achieve, and how are you going to achieve that? Majority of them said, we want money, we want power. These guys are corporate managers, they've been trained to become CEOs. And we want things in life, good things in life. So the good things in life is what? Naylor says, if you look their list, they're talking about vacation homes. They're not talking about the home in which they're going to live. They're going to have a second home. They're talking about expensive foreign automobiles. They're talking about yachts, expensive luxury yachts. Oh, they're talking about possessing an executive airplane, a jet. Naylor says, surprising, in their strategic personal plan, what was missing is no plan for spirituality, no plan for family, time for family, no plan for ethics, social responsibility, no time, no priority to value and esteem the employees as a strategy to be successful. Materialism. The more you have, the less you feel you have. Lack of contentment. Next slide, please. And this is not confined to the U.S. If the U.S. would be considered as the Kaaba and the Mecca of capitalism, you know, the movement of capitalism would be, let's say, you start off from the low class, you become the member of middle class, and then you go to become the member of the rich class in your own country. And then from the third world country, you start migrating to a second world country. You go to, let's say, Dubai. And gradually from Dubai, then you go to Canada. And then from Canada, you go to the US. Mecca is there, the Kaaba. But the problem is, it's not only there. Elsewhere in the world, they've discovered it's almost the same problem. In a survey of the world values, things that people hold dear to their hearts, they found that true, when there is poverty, there is lack of satisfaction, there is misery. As the wealth of the nation increases, the general sense of well-being in the nationals also increases. There's no doubt about it. Lakini, there's a limit. How much wealth should increase? And with every increase in wealth, there should be increase in well-being. There's a limit. Beyond a certain limit, any increase in the wealth does not bring a subsequent increase in well-being and happiness. So true, for a society to move from a society of scarcity to a society of security, where at least my basic essentials in life are provided for now. I'm not worried about housing and health. I'm not worrying about education and transport. I have enough to be able to satisfy my basic needs. Beyond that, small house versus medium house versus a big house. Small car versus medium car versus big car. Beyond the basics, then the question is, does any increase in wealth subsequently bring an increase in well-being or not? They discovered that when the GNP goes beyond $8,000 per person, then in the surveys they conducted in the different countries in the world, there is no report of increased happiness because of increased money. Money is necessary, yes, up to a certain limit where your basics are fulfilled. Beyond that, money cannot bring happiness. If we appreciate and realize and recognize this fundamental fact, that's the first step to move towards contentment. Next slide, please. And therefore, notice what the riwayat tell us now. Al-qana'atu malun la yanfad. Contentment is a wealth that will never dry up. La kanza aghna min al-qana'a. There is no wealth richer than contentment. It's not money that brings satisfaction and happiness. It's the sense of contentment. And why is it that contentment is a wealth that will never end? Why is it that contentment is the richest wealth anyone can have and not the money? Kwasababu, this Haditha Qudsi, which says that Allah communicated to Hazrat Dawood. And Ma'asum alayhi salam reports that وَضَعْتُ الْغِنَى فِي الْقَنَاعَةِ. I have designed the world in such a way that I have attributed wealth and I have put wealth in contentment. However, what people do is the reverse. فَيَطْلُبُونَهُ فِي كَثْرَةِ الْمَالِ فَلَا يَجِدُونَهُ. What they do is they seek contentment from wealth. Whereas I put wealth in contentment, they won't find it in excess wealth. I've put wealth in contentment, not in excess wealth. And therefore, look at the person who enjoys a degree of contentment and satisfaction. أَشْكَرُ النَّاسِ أَقْنَعُهُمْ. You know who's the most thankful person? Who recognizes that he has made his efforts and Allah has provided the basics. If there's anything extra, مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ شُكْرًا لِلَّهِ. Tranquility, peace of mind, lack of worries, lack of anxiety. Qana'a. Look at the riwayah says, Man qani'a lam yaghtam. There's no gham in his life. Rahatul abdan. No, forget peace of mind. The health of the body also depends on sense of satisfaction. Nobility, honor, prestige in society with qana'a. You're not seen to be greedy. You're not to be seen to be selfish, individualistic. You're seen to be a person who is satisfied, who's ready to share, who's helpful. Bil qana'ati yakunu al-'izz. You want 'izza in life. Qana'a is the way to get it. And perhaps the most important, once your bodily worries are not there, once there's peace of mind, you can then attend to your soul. And your soul can grow. Your salah can be a salah where you can concentrate and you're not worried. A'wanu shay'in ala salahin nafs al-qana'a. One of the most important factors that can help us improve ourselves is this qana'a. Because now my mind is not worried. I've done my struggle. Allah has given me the basics. If everything extra, alhamdulillah. No, I'm satisfied. Next slide, please. In the Quran, the Prophet is educated not to stare and not to extend his glances at those who have been given more. In Surah Taha, chapter 20, ayah number 131. So the question is, once I have this realization that everything is given by Allah, and once the basics are fulfilled, then anything extra is min fadlillah. Furthermore, how should I gain contentment? This is the message. La tamuddanna 'aynayka ila ma matta'na bihi azwajan minhum. O Prophet, don't stare and extend your glances at those others whom we have given. Some of them, not all of them. Azwajan minhum, not all of them, some of them. What have we given them? Zahrat al-hayat al-dunya. It's just decoration of this worldly life. There's nothing in depth. It's just decoration. It's temporary. Linaftinahum fi. And that is also a test. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But Allah's provisions definitely are better. and they are more lasting. The dunya is a test. The dunya is temporary. The dunya is just a decoration. It is the akhirah. It is the provision which Allah provides. The basics are provided for. That is much better. That is much more lasting. And therefore, based on this, we find this hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that in order to develop contentment, don't look at those above you. Look at those below you. لا تنظر إلى من فوقك في المقدرة وانظر إلى من دونك في المقدرة. Why should you do that? So that this will be أقنع لك بما قسم لك. What Allah has made taqseem for you and qisma for you, you will be more satisfied. Once you look at yourself, and once you compare with those beneath you. And finally, we've been warned, beware. If you're not going to be satisfied with this less that has been given to you, anything more will not satisfy you. مَنْ لَمْ يُقْنِعْهُ الْيَسِيرُ لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُ الْكَثِيرُ. If you are not contented and satisfied with the less, more cannot give you satisfaction. Kwa nini? Kwa sababu the nafs has got an unending desire. Allah has created the nafs. Aha. Where's the secret? Look at the secret. Where's the problem? The problem is Allah is all perfect. One. And therefore whatever He creates, because there cannot be two all perfect ones, definitely whatever He creates in relation to Him will be imperfect. In itself will be perfect, but in relation to Him will be imperfect. Two. And three, this other than God who is imperfect related to God. The distance between the imperfection of other than God and the perfection of God is infinite. It's unlimited. Therefore, the desire for perfection in the imperfect is unending. The problem is they feel that this unending desire for perfection, I can get it from material wealth. That's the mistake. If we direct our goals correctly and we recognize Allah to be the all-perfect one, therefore His pleasure, His provision and His protection will be the primary goals in life, and that will enable us to achieve the contentment. Next slide, please. Let's pray to Allah to be able to develop the right attitude of mind, and therefore the right feelings, and therefore the right changes in life that will bring about contentment. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.